This has been an eventful morning. I almost set the alarm off over at the Carmel Center, which was fun, and had to frantically get Father to get me the code. And then I found out that we have a new bishop on the horizon, which is pretty cool, because this is the man, God willing, that will be ordaining many of my friends, and hopefully me, in the years to come. So it's pretty cool. It's a very special moment. So let's pray for him really earnestly this day, and as we wait for his installation. So we just heard in the gospel this morning, I give you praise, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to the childlike. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. Who are the wise and the learned that Jesus is talking about here? Because we know we don't want to be them. Because the will of the Lord, will of the Father has been hidden from them. So I think that they are those who have already kind of made up their mind about how the world works. They have shut their hearts tight against the possibility of something outside of their expectations, outside of their own philosophies, outside their frame of reference. And so the truth remains hidden from them. There's no room for grace in their hearts. This reminded me of that beautiful last verse that may have kind of gone over our heads and just washed right on over us from this Sunday's first reading from Isaiah. Said, O Lord, you are our Father. Or is that Jeremiah? I think it was Jeremiah. Jeremiah. Sorry, guys. It's early. It's been an eventful morning, as I said. So it was from the prophet Jeremiah. It says, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you the potter. O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay and you the potter. The truth of God is hidden from the wise and the learned because they have unfortunately become dry and brittle clay. They are not ready to be sculpted by the Father. One of my favorite theologians, Giussani, Luigi Giussani, proposed that one of the antidotes to this brittle clay heart of ours is to become poor. Or maybe more to the point, to realize that we are very poor, that we need God. He says that when Christ taught, blessed are the poor in spirit, he was saying on a much deeper level, blessed are they who have no personal agenda to promote and to defend. Blessed are they who are totally open to the fullness of reality and are willing to conform themselves to it. Blessed are they who are ready and willing to be sculpted by the Father, who loves them unconditionally. In other words, the poor in spirit are the childlike that Jesus mentions in today's gospel. The poor in spirit are the childlike. If you look at kids, they aren't preoccupied by the kind of small-minded ideologies that we find so often in the news each morning and in our hearts more often than not. Kids aren't in this or that camp. They're not in this or that clique. They're simple. They're innocent. They're open to the truth of things in a way that nobody else really seems to be. We, on the other hand, often like to think that we're in control, right? We like to be in control. We like our preformed opinions of how things ought to work, how God should act, what direction the parish, the diocese, the church should be going in. And these preconceptions make us feel safe, and we will often defend them against anyone who would disrupt them or try to expand those conceptions. But what if we're only fending off grace? What if we're becoming wise and learned in our own eyes? What if we start fighting off Christ and his own church? Christmas teaches us that we follow a very unexpected Savior. We have not promised allegiance to a God who overpowers us through wisdom and knowledge, but rather the Christ who became poor for our sake, who became small, who quite literally became childlike to save us. He became childlike in the manger. This is what we are preparing for in this season of Advent, to welcome into our lives once more the all-powerful God who emptied himself and became powerless for you and for me. He, more than anyone else, shows us what it means to be clay in the hand of the Father, completely malleable, completely ready to do his will. We need to follow him. We need to stop hiding behind ideological camps. We need to become small and poor, more childlike. This doesn't mean, as some might object, that we have license to become childish, to become irresponsible and lax, or to be open-minded to each and every idea, however objectively wrong it might be. G.K. Chesterton famously once said, merely having an open mind is nothing. The object of opening the mind, as of opening the mouth, is to shut it again on something solid. To be truly childlike, then, means to learn how to see that fullness of reality simply for what it is, to be radically open through the Holy Spirit to the truth of God, a truth that is so much more beautiful and so much more full and big than the narrow prejudices that the world has to offer us. You know, let's not settle for that. Too often we hear that religious people are closed-minded, right? That religious people are rigid. But this is a lie, or at least it should be. No, the sincerely religious person should be the most open-minded person in the world, because they're willing to stand before the whole of reality, not some like limited cross-section of it or some sort of biased, you know, perspective of it, and to give themselves over to the God who upholds that reality, that underpins everything. They recognize most fully that they cannot become truly wise and learned without first bending their knee to the one who is himself all-wise and all-knowing. Perhaps Monsignor Ronald Knox put it best when he said, "There is headroom in the cave of Bethlehem for everybody who knows how to stoop." We are now on the way to Bethlehem again. If we are to adore the newborn Lord, we must become more childlike during this season of Advent. Only in childlike simplicity, in the poverty of a truly open mind, will we hear God say once more, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see."